new lessons in our series of Whatever Spiritual Family Needs. This lesson, Whatever Spiritual Family Needs, is discipline. Discipline. Can anybody quote for me the Great Commission? The Great Commission. What is the Great Commission?
Good God.
And he says in verse 20, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And so the Great Commission is given to God's people to reproduce ourselves, And he says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, and what?
Make
disciples. What is it? What is a disciple? What is a disciple?
A follower.
A worship of God. A follower of God. Yes. A student. Yes. We get the word discipline. Discipline. Yeah. And so it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, into the possession of them. Yeah? And it says the second half, so make disciples. And then when you make those disciples, it says do what? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What things has he commanded us? The scriptures. Yeah? So you teach them, make disciples, and then keep on teaching. Yes. So why did we go to school? Why did she go to school? To learn something, hopefully. To learn something. Yeah. And so he made the statement, all Christians are disciples, but not all disciples are Christians. Yeah. What do I mean by that? Everyone knows what Facebook is. What's the purpose of Facebook? People think the purpose of Facebook is to get as many followers as you can. Do you know all those people that are following you? Does Jesus know all the people that are following him?
Yes.
No. It's a relationship. You've got to have a relationship. So just because you're following somebody doesn't mean you know him. Yeah, a lot of people are following Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And so what we're talking about today is discipline. Discipline, yeah? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the Bible says, amen. And so every spiritual family needs discipline. What do we mean by that? We're going to talk about why we need discipline in our spiritual lives and how we get it. Why we need discipline in our spiritual lives and how we hear. So discipline is not usually a word we think fondly of. You think discipline, you think what? Licks. Trouble. Huh? The police. Rules. What's that?
Rules
and regulations. We might think of it as a lack of freedom. Often it conjures up feelings of being needlessly overbearing. Although these things may come to mind, discipline is not a bad or negative thing. We're not talking about discipline in a negative sense. Because all of us need to be disciplined. Yeah? We don't like it because it forces us to change and do things differently from how we might want to accomplish things, but the results of a disciplined lifestyle can't be argued. Every job that you take comes with training. Yeah, you get hired at some company and the first thing they're going to do is training. Isn't that right? This is how we do it here. These are the rules. Health and safety. You know, the UK is big on health and safety. Just a hammer. Before you start mopping those floors, you got to put a sign out. Huh? You gotta put the sign up. You're gonna have certain equipment because we don't want you to slip. We don't want you to fall. We don't want an accident. So in our Christian lives, we need discipline too. How do we stay within the lines in our Christian lives? What do we do? So when you come into the family, we talk about togetherness. We talk about open hearts of love. Now we need some discipline. How do we get along in here? How do we make family? Yeah? And so, first of all, we need discipline because it leads to success. It leads to success. Everybody wants to be successful. Yeah? You go to school, you go through all of these courses. What's the aim? Graduation. That means you successfully completed your course of study. We can let you go. Yeah? But if you fail the exam, what happens? What happens if you fail the exam? You gotta repeat that class. And you gotta keep repeating it. You ever wonder why you go through what you're going through? Huh? You say, why has this always happened to me? You haven't learned a lesson yet. You can't graduate and go to the next level until you pass the exam. Life is an exam. Isn't that right? So he says, go into the world, find you some disciples, teach them all of these things, and he says, teaching them to observe whatever I have commanded you. Were the apostles perfect? No, they weren't perfect. You had Judas had a problem. Matthew had some problems. Who else had some problems? Peter, Paul, me, you. Amen. And so the military is a prime example of what discipline looks like. Anybody ever been in the military? Know somebody in the military? Soldiers must strictly adhere to a set of rules, guidelines, and a schedule. These things aren't suggestions. They are what? Not following any one of them can lead to disciplinary action. Soldiers on parade. Soldiers on parade. You go in, disorganized, and you go and meet the drill sergeant. And the drill sergeant's job is to be your parent. To do what your parents maybe didn't do. Give you rules and regulations. They tell you when to get up, when to go to sleep, when to eat, when to make your bed, show them your shoes. They tell you eat 3 minutes. So you got 3 minutes to eat this breakfast. After that, we're shutting everything down. Stand over there, put this uniform on. Huh? I was in the military. You're standing up there in the rain. What you're thinking? I need to go and get my jacket, because I don't want to catch a cook. No, you have to stand there. You don't leave until they tell you. Huh? They tell you march fast, stop, go. You don't like that, do you? You don't like discipline. But that drill sergeant after that, and then they take you out on parade. And you're looking smart. But you didn't start off that way, so that's what we do when we come in here. We come in the church to learn some rules. Yes? Why do they follow strict regimens? Is a system like this meant to deprogram or brainwash? No. The structure and discipline of the military lead to the efficiency of the accomplishment of goals. It is what leads towards success. It is what leads towards excellence. Yeah? Many years ago, during my training, I went to Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, a U.S. Marine Corps base. Huge place. It's like a city. Everything is in there. They've got shops in there, hospitals, you name it, it's there. The only thing you can't do is leave when you want. They've even got a prison in there. They've got their own police officers. And when you see the U.S. Marines, you see them on TV, but seeing them in real life, it's like it's completely different. These men are disciplined. Yeah? You see these men, they can put a bridge together in a matter of hours. And they are committed. Nothing like us. And so, the church, when we come in, we learn some rules. And so, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, see that you walk circumspectly. In other words, be careful how you live. We said this word walk. Whenever you see this word walk, that is a lifestyle. See that you walk circumspectly. I walk. You remember when you were a child, what did your parents tell you when you get to the pedestrian crossing? How do you cross the pedestrian? What are you supposed to do when you get to the pedestrian? Look to the left, and look to the right, and look to the left again. Why? Why? Because you don't want to get run over. Yeah? So, when we're our Christian life, we should be the same way. We don't take risks. We look to the left before I make a decision. Before I make a choice, I'm going to walk very carefully. He says, not as fools, but as what? What is wisdom? What does the word wisdom mean? Wisdom. Anybody? Wisdom.
Yeah, I said it already. Application of knowledge.
Application of knowledge. All of us know something. We know a lot of stuff, don't we? But do we know how to apply it? Huh? You got a lot of folks with degrees that don't know how to use a toaster. Huh? Don't know how to use a microwave. They got all this knowledge, but no wisdom. Yeah? So you cannot be considered wise unless you use your knowledge properly. Because you know what we say? That wasn't a good decision. I wish I should have known that. That wasn't wise. Yeah? But it says what? Redeeming the time. In other words, use every opportunity you have for doing what? Doing good. Because the days are evil. Don't you know that? What month this is? This is August. What happened to January? We were just saying Happy New Year yesterday, and it's August. Because the days are evil. You can't get back yesterday. You cannot get back yesterday. And tomorrow's not promised to us. So what we have, we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. He says, therefore, do not be what? And if we're unwise, we don't do what this says. But understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? What is God's will? That all may be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is not that you have get a good education so you can get a good job, so you can get some good money and have a good retirement. That's not God's will. That's your will. God's will is that you be saved and that you come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. Yeah, God wants his house to be full. And so when we come into the house, we need to learn how to work. We need discipline. Yeah? But understand what the will of the Lord is. Second scripture is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. You, who's the you? Use you. Christians. You therefore, and he's talking to Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you heard from me among many witnesses, what did they hear? Scripture. The things you heard from me among many witnesses, do what? Commit these to who? Faithful men. So this job is not for everybody. This assignment is not for everybody. Commit to faithful men who will be able to do what? Teach others also. Where do we see that? The Great Commission, teaching them to observe what's that? You see all scripture? So, what you heard from me, you give to someone else to teach others what you already learned. Who are able to teach others? You therefore, here's the you and you. You therefore and you therefore must what? Endure hardship. Huh? It's going to be some trouble. There will be some trouble. If you take this assignment, there's going to be some trouble. As a what? Good soldier. There will be soldiers. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said the soldier cannot come and do as he wants. He is under orders. He must obey his commander. Yeah? So, we think just because we're a Christian that we're all own boys. No, you're not. No, you're not. As a good soldier, you must obey the commanding officer. You cannot come and go as you please. You have no rights. Yeah? As a good soldier, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs. What that mean? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life. What's our main concern every day we get up? What's our main concern? The affairs of this life. Am I right? The affairs of this life. That goes against what the scripture says. Ain't that right? Listen. Gas prices are good, electricity, food prices, what's going on in over here, situation on your job. Don't worry about all that. Because the soldier, your fat body army, your house body army, transportation is provided, body, everything is provided. They give you uniforms and everything you need, they're going to give to you. Right? So he says, don't worry yourself about it, that he might please him who enlisted him. Who enlisted you? Jesus. Huh? You said, I'll take Jesus at the baptistry. He's my king. Huh? Where he leads, I know you will. No, you will. Not on Monday, not on Tuesday, not on Wednesday, not on Thursday. Maybe on Sunday. No? That he may please him who enlisted as a, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he does what? Competes according to rules. That's discipline. If you want to get to the Olympics, you've got to be disciplined. If you want to win this crown, if you want to get a mansion, a robe, and a crown, you got to do what? You got to compete according to the rules. Every verse rules. The lines, I said last time, the lines on the road, what are those? Rules. Turn left, turn right, stop, do not enter, speed limit, rules. On your job, lunch is from this time to that time. We report to this person, if you're sick, call this number. Rules. If a fire breaks out, assemble at this point. This is the CEO. If you need something, call HR, this is the number. Rules. Rules, 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 rules. Every word is rules. Yeah? Rules. So, this is to regulate your behavior. What was the law given for? To regulate man's behavior. Now, Moses went up on that mountain. He said, listen, those folk that came out of Egypt, they don't know me. Huh? They've been down there all this year. They don't know me. I need to put some structure in place so they can know how to worship acceptable. Who I am, what I want from them, I want you to take this down there and teach it to them. Yeah? You send the children to school for what? To be taught. For an education. To prepare them for the real world. And when we come to the church, this is to regulate our behavior so that we can get to to heaven. You see that? Questions. Or questions here. Okay. Secondly, discipline leads to strong faith. What is faith? Faith is the believing in what? Something that you can see. I love it. Yeah? You can see the air in this room. But how do we know there's air in this room? Because we're loving. If I seal up every crack and crevice in this room and we just sat here, how long will it take before you realize there's no oxygen in here? You can't see it. You can't see electricity, but these lights are on. That's evidence. Yeah? That chair you sat in, did you test that chair before you sat in to know if it's going to hold you up? No. You just sat down. You sat down by faith. You turn that switch on by faith. Huh? When you go to the store and you buy all of those groceries, the outside of the box says cornflakes, tuna fish, whatever. Did you open up every package before you took it home? No. You went to the store, bought it by faith, took it home and put it on your in your cabinets by faith. That what's on the outside is on the inside. So we all exercise faith. Hebrews 11 and 1. So the same is true of spiritual disciplines. This is a concept. There are spiritual disciplines, things that we must practice. These are simple habits and practices that help us develop, grow, and strengthen our faith in Christ. They are things like prayer, Bible study, meditation, fasting, confession, solitude, worship, and celebration. Now, prayer. How did you learn how to pray? Anybody? How did you learn how to pray? You just woke up one day and just started praying. The disciples came to Jesus and Luke said, Master, teach us to pray. Yeah? And so prayer is something, and there are different types of prayer, aren't there? All the different types of prayers, according to, I believe it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. You have prayers of supplication, intercessory prayers. Somebody says, can you pray for me? That's a different type of prayer. A prayer of thanksgiving. I just want to thank God. The Psalms are prayers, a lot of them are prayers of thanksgiving. Bible study is the difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That takes discipline. You know what excites me? It excites me when I can connect scripture. When you read a passage of scripture, you say, I think I read that somewhere. And yes, that's over in that up. You see, that excites me. Because the Bible comes to life. It's not just random words and verses. What God said one place, he said other places, other writers have quoted different writings. So the Bible interprets itself. And when we study God's Word, we study it, what? To fill our cup up. To nourish ourselves. It's like water. Bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Yes? Meditation. What is meditation? Meditation. Reflecting. The psalmist says he was meditating on God's Word day and night. Sometimes God's Word, you may have a favorite verse, a favorite scripture that resonates with you. and brings you comfort or encouragement in certain times in our lives, and you just want to, it's like you just want to marinate in that word. You see that? Because it's personal. God is speaking to us. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Yeah? Fasting. What's the purpose of fasting? To do what? Denying oneself to draw us closer to God. In the book of Acts, before they chose the apostles, and we want to entreat God for some reason, we deny the flesh for a period of time as we go to God in prayer. You see that for some important reason. Jesus said to the disciples, these things do not come by what? Prayer and fasting. Confession. Confession. James 5:16. Confess your sins. What does confess mean?
Acknowledging.
Acknowledging what? Your iniquities. Yes. Anybody know what the word confess means? It means to agree with God. It means to agree with God that sin is wrong. Sin requires a sacrifice. Yeah? Confess your sin. Because God defines what the sin is, and we are agreeing with God that what I've done has transgressed His will. Yes? So confession is not just reporting. We're not just, because you can confess and then that's it. You know I'm in trouble, yep. I'm only doing it because you told me. I'm confessing because I got caught. In that reality, yeah. The Bible says there is a confession that leads to righteousness. Yes? Romans 10, 9 and 10, for the heart one believes to righteousness, but the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Solitude. What is solitude? Solitude. To go up somewhere. Jesus would do that every once in a while. He would go up into the mountains by himself. Yeah. You know, in our world today, we don't take enough time to be with God. Turn off the TV, disconnect from all the affairs of this life, and you just go off in your prayer corner. Go on the prayer wall. I'm just going to spend this day in prayer. Nobody needs to know that. Just you and God. Yeah? And unclutter ourselves from the concerns of this world. And say, Lord, it's just you and me. It's just you and me. Worship. What is worship? What is worship? Worship. That's why we're here. Does worship take place just on Sundays? Mm-hmm. No. The worship begins even before you get here. Yeah? And that begins, we talk about the heart and your mind. That's a posture that we have. It's just you and me. I am offering myself to you, Lord. Because you are more important than me, and you have done more for me than I even deserve. Yeah? And worship, our lives are worship. Our lives, worship. Celebration. In 1 Corinthians says, if someone is mourning, we should mourn. If someone celebrates, we should celebrate too. Celebration is not just hats and balloons and a cake. It's more than that. We celebrate the fact that God is still in control. Yeah. And so, in all the hustle and bustle of our lives, sometimes these things go in the back burner, don't they? When they go in the back burner. And so these things are on the recipe for God's approval. Instead, they are what help us to develop a lasting faith. A strong faith A faith that is put into practice through what?
Application.
Before application, there needs to be education. Jesus took 12 men. And how long did Jesus train these men? How long did Jesus' apprenticeship take place? His earthly ministry. 3.5 years. What was he doing? He was trying to discipline them. Yeah, he sent them out on the limited commission. Yeah, you see that? And so what was he doing? He walked alongside and said, let me show you. And then he released them to serve. That's our job. We don't just come here for entertainment. We come here to learn something. These things don't have power in themselves, but they help to develop and strengthen faith that connects to the one who is powerful over all things. God wants a relationship with us. In this story, the parable of the prodigal son, we all perhaps remember that parable in the Gospel of Luke. The hero in that story is the father. The sons are insignificant. It's the father that is the person that we need to focus on in that parable. And the key to that parable is that God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you, but it's not based on your performance. You think, if I get good grades, I don't give him any trouble. You know what the older son, wasn't that his argument? I never did you any wrong, but you never threw me a party. That's how we feel sometimes. I've been in the church long, Lord. I haven't given you any trouble. But this one here, that's not the point. I'm saying, son, you have me always. I just want a relationship with you. Yeah? And so, discipline is important. So I want us to look for the time that we have. And a passage of scripture is in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. 2 Peter, so we'll read that for us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11.
And beside these, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. For so an inheritance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thank you. In the heading of in my Bible says fruitful growth in the faith. Fruitful growth in the faith. I put their fruitful discipline growth in the faith. 2 Peter 5, sorry, chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. And so Peter, writing to Christians, he says, to add to your faith. Faith is the foundation. Faith is the foundation. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control or temperance, to self-control, perseverance or patience, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, or some translations say charity. It says, if you do these things, it will lead to, well, fruitfulness. It'll bear some fruit. It'll bear some fruit. And so, heeding Peter's words keeps us from being useless and unfruitful in our relationship with Jesus Christ, according to verse 8, enables us to live in the present in the light of our past conversion and our hope for the future. Doing as Peter instructs can help us or keep us from stumbling and assure us a triumphal or triumphant entry into the kingdom of our Lord. Conversely, neglecting Peter's instruction diminishes our perception and confidence in the salvation that God has provided and sets us up for the fall. Peter's own word should convince us to pay careful attention for the benefits pertaining to our past, our present walk, and our future hope. May we approach our text with a deep sense of importance and an open and willing heart, eager to hear and heed God's Spirit, of what God's Spirit has revealed. And so Peter is writing here to those who are saved about their sanctification, not the unsaved, about their salvation. Peter does not challenge his readers to work hard in order to be saved, but to strive diligently because they are saved, according to verse 1. 2 Peter 1:1 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith, the gospel of the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's writing to Christians. Secondly, Peter calls for diligent, disciplined, lifelong effort on the part of the Christian, according to verse number 5. He says, "What also for this very reason, giving all diligence, in other words, put your attention on these things." And then he says, this is a discipleship text which requires discipline and self-denial. It is a challenge to every Christian for all the days of their lives. No Christian, this is important, ever works his way through this text to move on to our pursuit. This is a lifelong challenge. This is a lifelong challenge. Because I guarantee you work on one, you perfect it, and you may have to go back down the steps, up the steps, back down the steps. You ever feel like that sometimes? No? I'm getting good at this, but now I've got to go back. Here comes another obstacle. No? There is no retirement for a Christian. Did you know that? You might retire at your job at 65, but you don't retire from being a Christian. Amen, sister. No retirement. Your retirement is over there. Amen. And so, the Christian's efforts are based on the sovereignty of God and the sufficiency of his provisions, according to verses 1 through 4. Peter has already laid the foundation for the Christian exertion in verses 1 through 4. In verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You won't know that unless you read the scriptures. Yeah? So you don't just wake up one day and have this all done. No. You've got to study. You've got to work on this. You've got to keep on working on it. And verse 4 says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. You know, God's promises come with demands. You tell me, isn't that right? I will never leave you or forsake you. Mm-hmm. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verses 5 through 7 contain a list of character qualities for which God has made provision and for which every Christian should strive. This is not a list of imperatives, duties, or activities. Peter is not writing about how to but about the kind of person the Christian should strive to become. It's not a duke, it's not a checklist. It is an aspiration of what we should strive to be. We talked about, I'll give you an example. Here it talks about brotherly kindness. That's phileo love. Remember we talked about different types of love? And that what type of love is this one? Agape love. Yeah. And that, we say it is one of the most demanding assignments. To love the unlovable. You gotta get some of those tough cases. Huh? And you're like, oh my Lord, Lord, is this what you had in mind? You say, yep. Because it leads to what? It leads to fruitfulness. And what is fruit? What is fruit? You have an apple tree, what's the fruit? The evidence of the tree. You can't say it's an apple tree if it don't have apples. Right? Listen, Sister Hannah, would you come by the house tonight? I got a plum tree, and what you expect to see when I take you in the back garden? You want to see some plums? I didn't drive all the way across town to see the leaves, the branches. I didn't come over to see it. I want to see some fruit. So if we are Christians, we call ourselves Christians, there ought to be some fruit. Ain't it what God's looking for? You remember the parable, what was it? The parable of the, what was it? What type of tree was it? Fig tree. Huh? And no figs on the tree. And what did the Lord say? Cut it down. Did the Lord say cut it down? So when he comes, he wants to see what it comes. He wants to see some fruit. But listen, in order to get some fruit, that tree needs to be nurtured. It needs to be watered. It needs to be pruned. Isn't that right? Huh? It needs some work in it. That's what we need. We need some nurturing. And so we become, you know, every once in a while, God's got to cut off some dead branches. And it's going to hurt sometimes. It's going to say, you don't need that. Remember that song says, Jesus says, the song says, I am the potter and thou art the what? The clay. Shape me and mold me after thy will. Huh? And in all that shaping and molding, he might have to take some off here and put. Just what he's trying to do. So I want to look at Jesus. Is it seven? I think it's seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 virtues. We're going to look at each one of those and see what the Bible has to say. I want you to study these passages, please, in your spare time. Second Peter 1:5-11. I want you to study that. So that the next time we come together, Lord willing, we can have a more informed discussion. These things, these 8 qualities or virtues, this is a lifelong assignment. And every last one of us, say of who are Christians, every last one of us, he said, add to your faith, not my faith, your faith. That's personal. So you have imagine you are baking a cake, ladies, brothers, you're baking a cake. Can I leave the eggs out? Can I leave the eggs out of the cake? Yeah. I can. What about the flour? What about the flour? Well, I leave the flour out. The purpose of the recipe is that you use those things. Yeah? If I say, this is my recipe, and you leave something out, that's no longer my recipe. That's God's recipe. Add to your, add this, a pinch of this, a teaspoon of that, a pound of this. And if you do all of those things,
take my cake.
Questions? Any questions?
You'll be next thing next week.
Joe will cheat with this one.
You'll be next thing next week, and if you don't pass, what's gonna happen?